This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pinsham, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on July 5th, 2013. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are the peripheral nerve and oncology. Effects of nandrolone on recovery after neurotization of chronically denervated muscle in a rat model. A laboratory investigation by Jonathan Isaacs and colleagues. Most research aimed at improving the results of major peripheral nerve repair by maximizing axonal regeneration has not translated to significant clinical benefit. In analyzing the complex physiological mechanisms necessary for nerve repair to be successful, the affected muscle is often overlooked. Despite best efforts, there is often a long delay in achieving re-innervation of denervated muscles. This may be due to patient factors such as insurmountable medical or social obstacles. It may be due to clinically appropriate delays due to expectant observation, or it may be merely due to long regeneration lengths. Regardless, by the time axons reach the muscle, only a portion of the original numbers of muscle fibers obtain re-innervation, and those that do are often in a weakened state due to changes in muscle metabolism and contractile proteins, a condition known as denervation atrophy. The authors of this study hypothesized that by artificially manipulating or augmenting the re-innervated muscle fibers through the administration of an anabolic steroid, they could improve net functional motor recovery. The hypothesis was tested in a rodent model. Denervation atrophy was established by transecting the tibial nerve and delaying repair for 3 or 6 months. After allowing time for nerve regeneration, either nandrolone or sham treatment was administered. Final testing was completed a month later, consisting of force contraction measurement and histomorphology analysis of the re-innervated muscles. Although a trend toward improved force contraction was noted, none of the parameters tested supported a significant role for nandrolone in improving motor recovery following delayed re-innervation of muscle. Though the authors note some variables in their study which could explain these disappointing results, such as treatment timing or dosing, given the potential risks associated with aggressive anabolic steroid treatment, the authors have concluded that while the idea of augmenting re-innervated muscle recovery may still have merit, alternative anabolic agents should be sought. Postoperative ischemic changes after glioma resection, identified by diffusion-weighted magnetic resonance imaging, and their association with intraoperative motor-evoked potentials. A clinical article by Jens Gempt and co-authors. In surgical glioma treatment, neurological deficits arise from cortical or subcortical structural or ischemic damage. The authors aimed to assess the incidence of resection-related ischemia and the sensitivity of intraoperative neuromonitoring of motor-evoked potentials for detecting such ischemic events. Therefore, 70 patients with motor-eloquent tumors underwent intraoperative monitoring of motor-evoked potentials during glioma resection. they were postoperatively examined with magnetic resonance imaging, including diffusion-weighted imaging and apparent diffusion coefficient maps. Among the 70 enrolled patients, a decline in the amplitude of motor evoked potentials of more than 50% of the baseline level was observed in 21 patients, or 30%. Ischemic lesions were identified by postoperative MRI in 16 of these 21 patients, whereas such lesions were observed in only 16 of 49 patients who did not show an amplitude decline of 50%. Moreover, 9 of 13 patients with a permanent loss in the amplitude of motor evoked potentials showed postoperative ischemia. The incidence of postoperative infarction was more frequent in patients who had previously undergone radiotherapy and whose tumor was located close to the central arteries. The authors conclude that alteration of motor evoked potentials during tumor resection and postoperative ischemic lesions are more frequent in patients with postoperative impairment of motor function. Rather than cortical or subcortical structural damage of eloquent brain tissue alone, formation of peri- or postoperative ischemic lesions plays a crucial role in the development of surgery-related motor deficits. Clinical, radiological, and pathological features of 26 intracranial and intraspinal malignant peripheral nerve sheath tumors. A clinical article by Hiao Hui Ren and co-authors. Intracranial and intraspinal malignant peripheral nerve sheath tumors are rarely reported because of their extremely low incidence. In the period from 2004 to 2011 at Beijing Tiantan Hospital, 26 intracranial and intraspinal malignant peripheral nerve sheath tumors were pathologically confirmed. This number accounts for 0.65% of the entire series of intracranial and intraspinal peripheral nerve sheath tumors treated at that institution. 92.3% of these lesions were primary. Radiologically, 26.9% were misdiagnosed as non-schwannoma diseases. 21 patients were followed up for 1.5 to 102 months. 12 patients experienced tumor recurrence. Median progression-free survival was 15 months. The 2-year and 3-year progression-free survival rates were 47.7% and 32.7%, respectively. 5 patients died of tumor recurrence. The median overall survival was not available. The 2-year and 3-year overall survival rates were 74.7% and 64%, respectively. Univariate analysis revealed that female sex, total tumor removal, and primary tumor were significantly associated with a better prognosis. Multivariate analysis revealed that only total tumor removal was an independent prognostic factor for progression-free survival. In summary, intracranial and intraspinal malignant peripheral nerve sheath tumors were rare and seldom caused by benign schwannomas. Radiologically, such tumors should be differentiated from meningioma, chordoma, fibrous dysplasia of bone, and ear cancer. Total resection, whenever possible, is necessary for prolonged survival of patients, especially in males. Preoperative ultrasound-guided mapping of peripheral nerves, a laboratory investigation by Michael Gofeld and colleagues. Surgically exposing peripheral nerves can be challenging, particularly when the nerves are deep and have variable anatomy, as is often the case. Advances in portable ultrasound technology have made it possible to distinctly visualize small anatomical structures, including peripheral nerves. The authors have performed a proof-of-concept study in unembalmed cadavers and demonstrated that portable ultrasonography could rapidly and reliably identify a number of peripheral nerves that are frequently operated on. They were able to perform extraneural injections of methylene blue immediately adjacent to ultrasound-visualized nerves, which allowed for rapid, accurate, and direct surgical exposure of the targeted nerve through a small skin incision. They report that they are finding this technique to be very useful when operating on patients with a variety of peripheral nerve problems, such as in clinical cases of deeply located peripheral nerve tumors and in challenging or deep entrapment syndromes. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. To listen to more of our podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook.